Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answer him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them, therefore, give us two bullocks. Let them choose one, cut it for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And if we'll skip down to verse 30, skip down to verse 30. The Bible says, And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. For just a couple moments, I want to talk on this topic, repairing broken altars. Repairing broken altars. If you would, put your Bibles down. Let's pray all over this house right now. Mighty God, we love you. Somebody lift up your voice in this house. Somebody cry out to God right now. We love you, Jesus. We've come to magnify you one more time, oh God. We're thankful for the opportunity, Jesus. We've come to lift up your word. We've come to speak to you one more time, God. I pray, oh God, that you would move in a powerful way. I pray that your spirit would flow in this house, God. We've come for a move of God. God, we won't accept anything less, oh God. We didn't come to play church, but we came to have a demonstration of the moving of the spirit. If that's what you came for, you ought to clap your hands right now. You ought to lift up your voice. You ought to give God praise. All over this house. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So Ahab began his reign as king of Israel two chapters prior to our text. The Bible tells us that Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord above all the kings before him. And to make matters worse, he marries a woman by the name of Jezebel, and together they begin to serve Baal, and they worshiped him. And the Bible says that he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all of the kings before him. Then we find that there is a prophet in the land by the name of Elijah. God sends Elijah to speak to his people and let them know that they need to turn away from Baal and their wicked ways and turn back to God. And God sends Elijah to Ahab, the wicked king, to let him know that there would be a drought in the land. There wouldn't be any dew or rain for years unless he said so. And it was so in the land that there was no rain, not even a drop, a sprinkle. There was nothing. As days turned to weeks and weeks turned to months and months turned to years, and now almost 3.5 years and still no sign of rain, and worse, not even a sign of the prophet Elijah. And the crops failed and the people got hungry. And I can only imagine how rough it was for the backslidden nation of Israel. But in the midst of this drought, instead of Ahab humbling himself and telling Israel to repent, he got worse in rebellion. He got more stubborn. He got more disobedient. And so did the famine in the land. Now Ahab desperately starts looking for the prophet Elijah. The Bible tells us that he looks in nations and he looks in kingdoms. But Elijah was nowhere to be found. They look here and they look there, but still no sign of the only one that could cause rain to fall from heaven. The Bible says that God sent Elijah to show himself to Ahab. And he said, I will send rain upon the earth. After looking and looking for Ahab, he calls down Obadiah, which was governor of his house. And he said to him, go into the land, into all the fountains of water and all the brooks, and look for grass so that we can at least save the horses and the mules alive. And they split up. Ahab went one way and Obadiah went the other way. And as Obadiah is on his journey, he sees a man and his name is Elijah. Obadiah recognizes him and can't believe that it's him. He then falls on his face and says, are you Elijah? And Elijah says, I am. Go and tell Ahab that I am here. And Obadiah says, we have looked all over for you. And as soon as I leave, you're going to be gone. And Ahab is going to slay me. Did you not know what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men in a cave by 50 and fed them by bread and water. Elijah said, I will surely show myself to him today. Go and let Ahab know that I'm here. And Obadiah went to meet Ahab. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him about Elijah. And here comes Ahab. And there stands Elijah. And when he sees Elijah, he says, are you the one that troubles Israel? And Elijah said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your fathers, because you have forsaken the commandments of God and have followed after Balaam. Now go and get all of Israel, the 450 prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of the groves, and meet me at Mount Carmel. There's going to be a showdown on Mount Carmel. So Ahab gathered all the children of Israel and the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came and said to the people, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people didn't answer. You see, the people were in an in-between place. They were in a place where they had to make a decision. They were in a place where they needed to figure out whether they were going to serve Baal or whether they were going to serve God. And whenever you find yourself in a situation like that, you need to get to the house of God. You need to get to the church of the living God. You need to get to the house so we can sing the songs one more time, so we can praise one more time, so you can open up the book one more time, so somebody can tell you who the true and living God is. Do I got a testimony in the house that'll say you're gonna find me in the house of God, worshiping, praising, serving the only God that's worthy of? Then Elijah said, since I'm the only one that's prophet of the Lord, and Baal has 450 men that are prophets, let them give us two bullets. Choose one, cut it in pieces, lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullet, lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And the prophets of Baal took the bullock, dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even unto noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. O Baal, hear us. But nobody heard. Nobody even cared. Nobody even regarded. And the Bible says that they started to leap upon the altar that was made. When you get in desperation, and when you serve a God that can't hear your cry, and when you serve a God that can't hear when you pray, and when you get down on your knees to pray and your God doesn't answer, it's time to switch teams. It's time to get on the side of a God that answers by fire, a God that can hear you cry, a God that can hear you pray, a God that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You serve the one true living God. If you serve that God, you ought to get up on your feet, clap your hands right now, and thank God that he hears. Thank God that he sees. Thank God. He said, you know what you need to do? At noontime, Elijah, he started to taunt them. He started showing out at this point and telling them, look, he is a God, right? Either he's talking or pursuing, or he's on a journey, or maybe, just maybe, your God is asleep. I'm so thankful that my God never sleeps or never slumbers. I'm so thankful that I serve a God that stands at attention, that's ready in the midnight hour, late in the midnight hour, when I'm down on my knees, when I'm down on my luck, when my bills are due, when I don't have the money in the bank, when my babies have walked away from the things of God, and I wake up in the middle of the night and I drop down on my knees. I'm thankful that I serve a God that's not asleep, that doesn't slumber, a God that can hear my cry, a God that can hear every single prayer. You serve a God that knows where you are. You ought to be thankful. I know this is simple preaching, but sometimes you need to be reminded that you serve a God that can hear your cry. Let me tell you something right now. Don't you ever quit crying out to God. Don't you ever quit coming to the house of God. Don't you ever stop praying. God hears. God sees. God knows where you are. The psalmist said it like this in Psalms chapter 115. But our God is in the heavens. He had done whatsoever he had pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Ears they have. They don't have mouths to speak to you. They don't have ears so they can hear your cry. They don't have eyes so they can see you in your distress. I'm thankful that I serve a God that I can cry out to. I'm thankful that I serve a God. Don't ever take it for granted. Don't ever take it lightly. This is a big deal. Whenever you've got to prop up your God, you need to find a God that's alive. You don't need to serve a God that's dead. You need to serve a God that stands at attention. You need to serve a God that knows where you are. You need to serve a God that knows how many hairs you've got on your head. You need to serve a God that's watching your babies when you send them to school. You need to serve a God that has your best interests in mind. You need to serve a God. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. You got to serve the God that's able to help you in your situation. You got to serve. You got to come to grips that any other God is not the true and living God. There's only one God, and Jesus is his name. You ought to get excited that you know the name. You ought to get excited that you serve the one true living God. Praise God. The Bible says that they cried aloud and they begin to cut themselves until blood gushed upon them. And this is what happens when you serve a God that doesn't have any answers. This is what you resort to. Suicide is not anything new. Suicide is as old as the sun. And suicide is still running rampant in the day. But I'm here to tell somebody that's been dealing with suicide, I don't even know why I'm here. I had no plans on staying here. But you are valuable. And you need to stand up in the house of God and understand that you serve a God that died for your sins. You serve a God that knows where you are. You serve a God that can hear every cry. The Bible says that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was no voice, nor any answer, nor any that even cared. The Bible says that Elijah gathered all the people and repaired the altar of the Lord. And he took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he put wood and cut the bullock in pieces and laid them on the wood and told them, go and fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, I want you to go and do it again. They come back and they pour all of the water on the sacrifice. And he says, I want you to go and do it a third time. And so now 12 barrels of water ran down the altar and filled the trench as well. And I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I know a little bit of something. If you want to set something on fire, you don't drench it in water first. But when you serve a God that can do anything, I said we serve a God that's able to do anything. Elijah's at this point, he wants to let the people know that there should be no doubt who you serve. You serve a God that's on top. You serve a God that never fails. You serve a God that always wins. And the 12 barrels of water ran about the altar and filled the trench as well. And Elijah prayed and said, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people will know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their heart back again. That's why you got to get to the house of God, so that it can come back to your remembrance, the God that you serve. Sometimes when you get disconnected from the house of God, you forget what type of God you serve. That's why you need to come to church. You need to hear. They were standing at the Red Sea. They didn't have anywhere to go on the left. They didn't have anywhere to go on the right, and Pharaoh was on their tracks. But God stepped in right on time, and he made a way where there seemed to be no way. Sometimes you got to get to the house of God so you can hear that one more time. Sometimes you got to get to the house of God so you can see every time in the word of God where God stepped in right on time. I'm preaching about a God that knows where you are. I'm preaching about a God. Then the fire of the Lord fell. It consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, the dust, and it licked up all the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And Elijah slew all the prophets of Baal and told Ahab, "Get up, eat and drink. There's a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he told his servant, he said, "Go up, tell me what you see." And the servant said, "I don't see anything." He comes back, he says, "Look, I don't see anything." He said, "I want you to go up again." And he goes up a second time, didn't see anything. Goes up a third time, he didn't see anything. And now six times he's been up. And at this point, he's looking at the prophet like, "You don't know what you're talking about." But when the man of God gives you a word, I said, when the man of God gives you a word, you can take it to the bank. The man of God can see further than you can see. That's why you got to get up under the preaching of the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of God. It says, go up one more time. And he goes up to seven times, and he said, "Man, I finally see it. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand." And it started to rain. There came a great rain. It came to pass the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. How many thankful for the rain? How many thankful that God answers by fire? If you serve that God, you ought to give him praise right now. Somebody clap your hands right now. Hear me today. But before the fire fell, and before the windows of heaven opened, there was something that needed to be done. In verse 30, the Bible tells us that Elijah called all the people to come close, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. This was the first thing that was done before he put anything on it, before the 12 stones were placed, before the wood was in order, before the trench was dug, before the bullock was cut and placed, before he called for the 12 barrels of water, before he even prayed a prayer. The Bible says that he called everybody close. He says, "Come close. I want you to see this. You need to stand right here, and you need to pay attention to what I'm about to do." And in the face of the backslid nation of Israel, the Bible says that he repaired the altar of the Lord that they had let get broken down. He repaired the altar of the Lord. The people of Israel knew sacrifice. They understood altars. They were accustomed to seeing an altar to this and an altar to that. But there was one altar that they had forgot about. There was an altar that over the years just ended up in the back of their minds, while the altars of Baal were at the forefront. One altar that wasn't so important anymore. One altar that desperately needed repair. And Elijah, understanding that this altar hadn't been touched in a while. This altar was a victim of neglect. This altar was subject to loneliness. This altar was only used in case of emergency. This altar needed some tender love and care. This altar needed repair. The Bible says that he repaired the altar. And I can only imagine as the men of the Baal worshipers were trying to desperately call fire from heaven. I can see the events of everything that was playing out in this moment. I can see the Baal worshipers as they leaped upon the altar and they begin to cut themselves with knives. I can see Elijah watching the whole events of what was happening in the moment. And I can see Elijah standing at the altar of the Lord. I can see Elijah glancing over to the people that were trying to call fire down from a false god. But then I can see Elijah as he looks back. He looks back to the altar of the Lord. And I can see him asking himself the question, how did we let it get so bad? Why is the greatest altar ever known to mankind? Why has it been neglected? I can see him starting to take inventory of everything that was missing from the altar. He'll glance over knowing that they weren't going to be able to call fire down from heaven because they served a God that wasn't real. But I know with everything that's in my heart that in his mind he was wondering about the altar of the Lord. He was wondering, why is the altar of the Lord neglected? Why hasn't anybody taken care of the altar of God? Why? How did it get in such bad shape? How did the altar of the Most High God, how is it in disrepair? How is the altar of the Lord messed up like this? The Bible says that Ahab reared up an altar to Baal in the house of Baal. How did the altar get like this? Because Ahab presented an alternative. An altar that may have not needed much repair because the king himself was taking care of that altar. An altar that they got caught up paying attention to more than the altar of the Lord. An altar that they didn't have much mess to clean up because fire never fell on this altar. And so the neglect of the altar of the Lord was in place because there was just too much to do. It was just too much to maintain. It was just too much mess to clean up and deal with. It's so much easier to let Ahab and all of his servants take care of the altars of Baal. And so we're just going to go over to the altars of Baal. Am I preaching to anybody in this house right now? I'm here to tell you. You got to be careful. You got to be careful what altars you're maintaining. You've got to be careful what altars you're building up in your house. You got to be careful. You've got to be so careful today. And King Ahab and Jezebel were dead set on raising up an altar of Baal in the house of Baal so that the people would have something to kneel at. But when it came to the altar of the Lord, you've got the prophet Elijah standing and wondering, why is the greatest altar that was ever created in disrepair? Why is the greatest altar that was ever created broken down? What? Was it just too much to maintain? Jesus, help us today. Was it just too much to take care of? Was it convenience? Was it only okay to go by on the weekends? You see, everything is geared towards entropy. Everything is going to break down if you don't touch it. That's why we got to get back to the house of the Lord so we can repair the altar of the Lord. You've got to maintain the altar of the Lord. You've got to get to the house of God. That's why people get so frustrated. People get so frustrated because they're praying at broken altars. You get so frustrated and you feel like your prayers don't leave the ground. I'm going to tell you, your prayers are not leaving the ground because you got to bring it back. And you got to go back to the place where he repaired the altar. Before he even prayed a prayer, he made sure that he took care of the altar of the Lord. And people get so frustrated because they kneel at altars that are not maintained. Hear me today. Your children will kneel at altars that you maintain. Frustrated because God won't answer my prayer. And every time I go down on my knees to pray, I'm praying at a broken altar. You got to get to the place where there's no other altar bigger in your life. Because your children are watching the altars that you kneel at. And the altars that you maintain are the altars that your children are gonna kneel at. And when you start erecting things to false gods or gods that are not the one true living God, you're going to find... preaching like this because I got kids and I'm watching my children and they want to do everything that daddy does and they want to go everywhere that daddy goes, and I got to be so careful that I don't erect a false god or a false altar in my home. I got to be careful that I'm not paying attention to sports more than I'm paying attention to the things of God. I've got to be careful that I'm not maintaining just the way that my body looks instead of maintaining the altars of the Lord. I got to be careful that I'm not maintaining my career and my job and being successful more than I'm maintaining the altar. It takes time to do this business, and I believe that that's why it gets neglected. He said, hold on, hold tight. Before we do anything else, go get me a hammer. Go get me some nails. And he stands there. And in the face of the backslid nation of Israel, he starts. And I can see him repairing the altar of the Lord and the children of Israel looking at him and watching the events that were unfolding and calling to remembrance their fathers and their grandfathers and their great-grandfathers do the same thing. I'm telling you, we got to get back to the basics today. I want to see revival like anybody else in this house. But before we can see revival, we've got to repair the altars. We've got to repair the altars. We've got some altars that are broken down. And if we want to see the fire fall, if we want to see the fire fall, mama, daddy, you've got to drag that altar. My God, my God, you've got to drag that altar that you've tucked away in the closet. Hear me today. You've got to drag that altar back out. You've got to drag it into the living room. And you've got to say, listen to me today. Today, I've neglected the altar of the Lord. But today, we're going to repair the altar and watch God bless you. And watch God start working miracles in your life. And walking by myself, I feel my kids, Jesus help me, tugging on my coattail because they're behind me with everything that I do, and they're going to notice where you spend your time. I'm working desperately I'm working desperately to set up this system in my house where prayer is common. And it is at this point, but I want to maintain that. I've got to work on that. I've got to mind that every single day, because at whatever point that I stop maintaining the altars of the Lord, then you can rest assured that there's going to be another altar that arises in your life. God will always hear me. It's not the enemy. God will always send you an alternative. He will always send you a different route. And the children of Israel, they had another way to go. At first, it was all about the altars of God. But when they erected an altar to Baal in the house of Baal, they now had an alternative. And now we stop maintaining the altar of the Lord, because everybody else is going and kneeling at the altars of Baal. And that's why he said, you got to choose you this day who you're going to serve. That means that the people were in an in-between place. They were vacillating between two opinions. They know what it was to keep the altars of the Lord maintained, but they knew what it was to look over and gaze over at Baal's altars. You got to be so careful that you keep this thing in the front of your mind. That's why you got to come to the house of God every time the door is open. If you don't get to church, you got to turn it on in your house. You got to turn it on. When it's church time, that's the only thing that should be going on in that moment. Because what happens is your kids will start seeing you neglect. It's not that important. We're not there tonight. It's not that important. I'm here to tell you, please hear me today. Hear a young preacher today. I've got a burden today. I'm preaching to somebody today. Please repair the altar of the Lord. You've got to repair the altar of God. You've got. It's not too late. It's not too late. You've got to come back and you've got to make amends tonight. You've got to say, I know I've neglected the altar, but tonight we're going to repair the altar of the Lord. Notice that he brought everybody close. Come here. I want you to see. I want you to pay attention. I want you to see that if you want to see the fire of God fall, then you first have to repair the altar of the Lord. Lift your hands all over this place right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now. I believe God's going to help somebody today. I believe that God's giving lending a hand of strength and grace right now. I believe that we've all messed up before, but today God is calling you back to the place where you were. God is calling you back to when that was at the forefront of everything that you did. God's calling you back to a place where this is what it's all about. Somebody cry out to him right now. Lift up your voice in the house. We've got to maintain the altar of the Lord. This altar stay maintained. Pastor will make sure of it. The people of God will come and this will always be a place of safety. But I'm talking about erecting that altar that you had in your house that's pushed to the corner. I'm calling somebody today. You've got to pull it out one more time. And you've got to say, God, I'm going to do it again. I'm just going to go here and we're going to take our time and we're going to carefully repair the altar of the Lord. And every blow and every strike, you're declaring something to that family of yours. You're saying we're going to take care of the things of God. And I want to see miracles in my family. Does anybody want to see miracles? Does anybody want to see signs? Does anybody want to see? Do you want to see the fire of God fall in your house? Repair the altar. Repair the altar. Repair the altar. So we can get lost in this life You can get lost maintaining altars. And as you build your bank account, it'll grow and grow and grow. And the crazy thing about it is God will let it grow. And then you get caught up thinking, man, look at the blessings of God, but God's just sending you an alternative. And it's like, man, I got so much money, I must be blessed. But you haven't prayed, you haven't read your Bible. That's not the blessings of God. The blessings of God is another opportunity to come into his presence and lift up your hands and another day of grace and another day of mercy and another day where I watch my babies around the front dancing before the Lord. That's the blessings of God. God will bless you financially, but you got to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things are going to be at. I come to preach a simple message today and help somebody and tell you, let's take all the other altars out of the forefront and let's put the altar of the Lord on display in front of your family. We're going to maintain this altar and watch God bless you. I'm a living testimony. When you start taking care of God's business, God will take care of yours, and you will be blessed, and you'll have financial blessing, and God will do things in your life that you never thought he would do. Right now, I'm walking in places in my life that I never thought was possible for me, but I made sure. God, let me know. Don't ever forget the altar of the Lord. Don't ever forget the altar of the Lord. Don't let it get broken down. Don't let it get messed up. Don't let it be in disrepair. We got to keep the main thing the main thing. Simple message. Repair your altars and watch God move and watch God work. Take the things that are in the forefront and cast them aside and watch God move. And watch God work. And as you repair the altars of the Lord, all of the nights of tears and all of the nights where you didn't think God was listening to you, God was just waiting for you to put him first. God was just waiting for you to say, there's no other God in my life. God was just waiting for you to say, God, I give you everything that I have. Everything else can go. I'm going to repair the altar of the Lord. And when you do, you're going to watch the fire of the Lord fall in your life. God's going to bless you. God's going to move in your life. God's going to save your children. God's going to do work, but you got to put God at the forefront. Done preaching. lifted hands all over this house right now. Holy Ghost has spoken this place. God speaking to somebody in this house. Somebody lift up your voice. Cry out to God right now. If you want to come to the altar, go ahead and come to the altar. I'm done preaching tonight. Somebody, God's in this house right now. God's calling somebody right now. God's calling you to get back to the basics today. God's calling you to get back to where He's called you to be.
Make me a house.
somebody. God's extending a hand of grace today. God's extending a hand of mercy today. We might not get it right every day, but right here, God's given us an opportunity to get it right. God's giving us an opportunity to repair the altar. God's helping us today. This house right now. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. It's not a message of condemnation, but God's extending a hand of grace. God has given us another opportunity to get it right. That's the type of God we serve. We serve a God that wants to see you do well. We serve a God that wants to put things in order. And God sent the preacher today just to let somebody know, repair the altar one more time. Show your kids how it's done. Clap your hands one more time. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Continue to be in prayer with our church family as they travel. And take your strength and go with God tonight. You're dismissed in the name of Jesus.